Most of us are familiar with the rabbinical tradition that says that in the 10 days between Yom Teruah, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur, God inscribes each person either for life or for death in the coming year. And that decision depends on the quality of each person's repentance. Well, we here at Shema look to the Word of God, not tradition. The scriptures make abundantly clear that it isn't our acts of contrition that gets us written into the book of life. As a matter of fact, the only way that any human being can be written into the book of life is by putting their complete trust in the atoning death and the resurrection of Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, and to embrace his teaching. The complete name of that book is the Lamb's Book of Life. None of us knows the day or time of our death, and few of us give much thought to our mortality. We presume we have the rest of the day today, and you know, we have tomorrow, next week, next month, you know, and we roughly estimate the number of our years. But everything can and sometimes does change in a moment. The last words of the great novelist H.G. Wells were, "Go away, I'm all right." Bing Crosby's last words were, "Hey, that was a great game of golf, fellas." We just don't know. Nobody knows when they will die. And yet, everyone has a pending appointment with the judge. That is why it is so critical you not put this decision off. Far too much is at stake. And we don't even know that we have tomorrow. You know, there's a saying, some people who were waiting till the 11th hour to repent died at 10:30. And here we are. At Yom Kippur, the most solemn, introspective day of the year for Jewish people worldwide. Yet how many will more or less coast through this day without having given any serious consideration to the state of their soul? How many people are on the spiritual equivalent of cruise control or autopilot? How many are just going through the motions of yet one more Yom Tov? Indifference about our impending appointment with eternity is a luxury we cannot afford. The prophet Malachi warned us about the coming day of the Lord, the day of God's judgment. Let me read to you, I'm just going to read a few verses from the prophet Malachi, chapter 4. The name Malachi means my messenger, and it has very special meaning in this book of prophecy. For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will be chaff, and the day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. It is a particular day that is coming. But in this one day, there will be two outcomes, diametrically opposed outcomes. There will be one outcome for the arrogant and the perpetrators of evil, and a very different outcome for those of us who revere the name of Adonai. The coming day of the Lord is not in question. It's inevitable. It's decreed. The question is, which outcome will it be for you? Yeshua said, blessed are the meek. And he didn't mean weakness, but rather those who are gentle, self-controlled, and thoughtful toward others. And so we may infer then the opposite, that cursed are the arrogant, those who are aggressive, selfishly ambitious, boastful, and disdainful of others. Malachi says that day will burn like a furnace, and it will bring about the destruction of the arrogant, along with those who commit evil acts. Now, evildoers are generally easier to identify than arrogant people, because deeds of evil are usually pretty obvious. And we tend to associate evil doing with things like murder, drug dealing, robbery, terrorism, adultery, assault. Now, you might be saying to yourself, self? No. You might say to yourself, hey, I've never murdered anybody. I've never dealt drugs. I've never committed terrorist acts. So I'm a good person. Watch out. You might not be an evildoer, but you might be arrogant. The humble person acknowledges what the scriptures say about him. He has no illusions of being good. Not having murdered or committed terrorism doesn't make you good. Goodness isn't merely the absence of evil. Arrogance can take the form of self-reliance. And some of you may be under the illusion that because you don't do bad things, or at least nothing really bad, that you don't need Messiah Yeshua. Maybe you consider yourself a good person and you say, I don't need some middleman to bring me to God. Be careful, my friend. The scriptures tell us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All includes you and me. Furthermore, Yeshua declared, no one comes to the Father but through me. So if you think you're good enough to come to God on your own merit, do you realize you are calling the writers of Scripture liars and even making Messiah himself out to be a liar? To dismiss his righteous, perfect, and atoning sacrifice as somehow unnecessary would put you squarely within that condemned group called arrogant. So even if you're not an evildoer per se, you might be guilty of being arrogant. To say no to Yeshua is more than just dismissing some great religious figure or some philosopher. It is turning down God's gracious offer of forgiveness. And if that's you, your dilemma is the equivalent of you being hundreds of miles out on the open sea, and your boat has capsized, and you are hopelessly treading water. And yet, rejecting the life vest that has just been thrown to you, and even hurling insults at those who came to rescue you. It is rejecting eternal life itself. It gives new meaning to the expression, is that your final answer? God forbid that saying no to Jesus the Messiah ends up being your final answer. Now, maybe some of you here, and those watching, merely have yet to say yes. Perhaps you're not saying no to Yeshua, but you haven't said yes. Not yet. Well, let today be the day that you say yes. Imagine the joy of being able to point back to Yom Kippur 5784 and to say, that was the day I was redeemed. That's the day that Messiah took up residence in my heart and life and I became his. Wouldn't it be great if you could say that this Yom Kippur is that day? But the one day has two outcomes. Let's be clear about that. There is no third way. You must be willing to surrender your will to God's. And make no mistake about it, in this new covenant dispensation, to fear the name of the Lord, as Malachi described it, means to embrace Yeshua of Nazareth as your Lord and King and Messiah, and adopting his teachings as the source of truth and authority in your life. And here's the good promise. Those who fear his name, who show him reverence and love, will experience salvation and reconciliation. As Malachi said, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. That righteousness is Messiah's perfect righteousness. And through faith in him, we are healed from the 100% lethal disease called sin. Beyond that, we have the promise of joy. We are going to be filled with joy. Malachi wrote, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. Our experience of salvation will cause us to want to jump for joy. And at the risk of making a kind of a crude comparison, we will be overjoyed like the dogs when we let them out into the backyard so they can chase the squirrels. We're going to be so filled with joy, we can't even begin to comprehend the depth and the wonder of that day. Now, if you've already made that decision, you're following Yeshua, Jesus. You have incredible joy ahead of you. If you haven't made that decision, what you have is a big, fat question mark in front of you. What you don't have is a guarantee that you can get around to it later. So please let today, Yom Kippur 5784, be your day of salvation if you haven't done that yet.